This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another Artfield Week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an energetic evening of ethnic dance or a cinematic blowout, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Innovative new works by the globally renowned Trinity Irish Dance Company will open the 50th anniversary season for the New Orleans Ballet Association. The Chicago, Milwaukee-based Powerhouse Dance Troupe is known for its progressive Irish dance movement. Founding artistic director Mark Howard joins us by phone. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Diane. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to New Orleans. It's been a while.
I'm excited. The company's been there a couple of times, but I've never been there with the Trinity Irish Dance Company, so I'm jacked.
Oh, my goodness. We're happy to have you. Your company, Trinity Irish Dance, is credited with starting the progressive Irish dance movement under your direction, Mark. Describe this style of dance and tell us how it differs from traditional Irish dance.
Well, it's all based in traditional Irish dance. And with myself as a young Irish dance teacher, I followed those traditions closely, but I was surrounded by all this other stimuli living in this urban environment of Chicago. So it sort of took oceans of distance and generations of time for that art form to live and breathe and sort of push forward. You know, it's uniquely an Irish-American vision, an Irish-American company, and a lot of it's through happy accidents. In my mid-20s, had a little bit of misdirected enthusiasm and thought maybe Americans could win the first world team titles, for the United States at the World Irish Dance Championship. And so eventually we figured that out, like in the late 80s, and that led to a lot of great appearances, like on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And that got us, invited many places around the world. And then we got on every other TV show. And then sooner or later, people in the arts community started telling me I should start a nonprofit, performing arts company. And other folks in the community created a nonprofit company to celebrate my work, which was kind of moving in the direction of a rep company. And so I instinctively thought we should elevate the art form because I had grown up having people give me the impression that they thought what I did was ethnic-y and silly, especially on St. Patrick's Day. I wanted to be on the same circuit as Baryshnikov and Alvin Ailey. And so we ultimately were signed with IMG Artist Management, which was wonderful. It took us around the country and New Orleans a couple of times and Asia and part of Europe. That's how it was all born. It's a huge happy accident.
Yeah.
And there's a PR firm that came up with a really nice subtext sort of tagline. It's everything you'd expect, but like nothing you'd imagine. I think that describes the company pretty well. We've got a determined, fresh approach, to an often overly commercialized art form.
And how will you open the 50th dance season for the New Orleans Ballet Association?
With a piece called Souls, a tribal piece that's understated and sort of a tour de force of percussion. We'll do a couple of classic pieces that we would have done years ago, like Johnny, which was actually a gift to Johnny Carson in his last year, and pieces like Current Event, which now New York University's head of the dance department, Sean Curran, who also was Bill T. Jones' lead dancer and one of the first members of Stomp. He choreographed this years ago. And there's a bit of body percussion in it, a lot of Irish step dance, and they wear these plaid kilts, and it's like girl power, sort of. It's like what would happen if you put some Irish step dancers crossing over a little bit into contemporary, and they just kind of had a big percussive dance in the schoolyard. I love that piece. I don't think audiences would allow us to not do Current Events. Those are crowd favorites. But we're also doing a wealth of new work. I'd say 80-90% of what they'll see they've never seen before.
Let's describe some of the new works.
On Sorcus, which is Gaelic for circus, is an important one that comes towards the end of the performance. It's co-choreographed by my associate artistic director, Chelsea Hoy, and it's the first piece we've done together. It deals with idolatry, moving into empathy. It begins by praising meaningless icons, and it ends by literally reaching out to connect. And that's something this company is very much striving for at every turn. We wanted to do something that was big, showstoppy, but done in a smart and sort of twisted way. There's layers of meaning on Sorcus, from the lyrics to the imagery to the costumes. And speaking of the costume, it starts with the emulation of a commercial cartoon, like the commercial shows that are out there now, and evolves more into an organic, quintessential Trinity Irish Dance Company piece. We like deconstructed all the glitzy Irish solo costumes that they wear in competition, and we repurposed them for the performing arts stage. And halfway through the circus, we shed the sort of weight of commercialism by shedding these jackets to reveal the honest rhythms of the company. It opens backwards with the notion that much of the world's emphasis on materialism is backwards. So we're just encouraging our audience to think less about material things and more about human connection.
Yeah.
There's many works. We're going to do like 10 dances. I love Push because it puts our males and females on equal footing. It's an explosive, percussive, powerful piece. You know, a big part of this company is the empowerment of women that goes on. So our women lay down the thunder, and it's always primarily been a female company. So this piece, you know, levels the playing field by having four dancers, two females and two males, sort of get into this one-upmanship that is basically the way Irish step dance progressed. I can do two clicks, you do three. I can, you know, make sounds quicker and louder than you. So it's a real crowd favorite, you know.
I can see why. You have a work called A New Dawn?
A New Dawn shows the company's chops in terms of virtuosic soft shoe dance, where they sort of defy gravity and get some hang time. They wear gillies, which is a Celtic version of ballet shoes. And a lot of the figure work in the piece is sort of like Balanchine-like, but like on speed. It's like folk dance of the future, like rapid-fire arm movement, 12 women that could end up in a pileup at any moment if they're off by an inch. So it's fast and furious with a live band and a big soundtrack. The guts of it were part of a dance in the late 90s that won America one of its first world team titles. It's really the only thing on the program that comes out of that competitive background that I would have as a coach years ago.
As you push the envelope, breaking dance boundaries, how do you at the same time stay true to your classic Irish dance roots?
We always honor the ancestors. Everything is rooted in tradition. But like any art form, Irish dance needs to live and breathe and move forward. So I think those ancestors would be very pleased to see what the company is doing today. We're here to like make sure that it isn't completely commercialized. We're successful when there's impact and a connection happens through our tradition. If the audience recognizes an emotional truth, you know, of their own human experience in our work and in our company, then we've done our jobs. So we just build off of that tradition and take ideas that are collecting in the atmosphere and utilize them to churn out honest work that has a through line of integrity. In the Irish dance industry, the scene is very much starting to become more important than what's being created, which we never want to happen. We want to remain objective about what we do. There's certainly not objectivity in the Irish dance industry. It's competitiveness before quality. It's like a copy of a copy of a copy, all stuck in a seemingly unpenetratable box. And Trinity Irish Dance Company brings a high-powered jackhammer to that fight, and we're increasingly winning the battle between substance, which is connected to tradition, and spectacle, which is connected to I don't know what. So Irish dance has become sort of a cartoon of itself, and Trinity Irish Dance Company is here to steal it back.
What is the feeling you hope will embrace audiences and linger long after this evening of dance in New Orleans?
It's always a thrill to watch that many bodies come together some kinetic way to have a perfect performance. And when it happens, it's intoxicating.
Trinity Irish Dance Company founding artistic director Mark Howard, it's been great talking with you. Enjoy New Orleans.
I surely will. Thank you so much, Diane.
The New Orleans Ballet Association's 50th anniversary season kicks off with Trinity Irish Dance Company in performance Saturday, October 19th at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. More info at nobadance.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The New Orleans Film Society's annual festival is celebrating 30 years of new films in New Orleans. The Oscar-qualifying film festival is marking the milestone event in venues across the city with a bevy of screenings. Executive Director Fallon Young is here with a sneak peek at what movie lovers will experience on this red carpet ride. Fallon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Congratulations on the milestone, 30 years and going strong. What are your thoughts about the community's commitment to this cultural event?
Oh, it's wonderful to see our audiences grow at the New Orleans Film Festival each year. Now we're reaching about 30,000 folks across the city at venues such as the Contemporary Arts Center, Britannia, Broad, The Advocate, and the Orpheum Theater.
I hear the festival will have a different artistic feel this year. How so?
Well, one thing that is not new, but a little bit further articulated this year is our commitment to Southern filmmakers. Over half of the lineup this year is shot in the American South, and we really believe that film and media storytelling is one way that we shape our cultural identity as Southerners and present it to the world.
Now, how many film submissions did you receive this year?
We received over 6,500 film submissions this year.
Is that an increase from last year?
It is an increase from last year. It's gone steadily up over the past few years as we're now Oscar qualifying in animated shorts, narrative shorts, and documentary shorts.
So what exactly does that mean?
That means that if a filmmaker wins a jury prize at our festival, they're automatically considered for an Oscar.
Wow. How diverse are the offerings this year?
This year, over half of the films are directed by women. Over half are directed by filmmakers of color. Just over half are Southern films, and 27% of our lineup, so about 60 films, are shot in Louisiana.
What do you look for in narrowing down the selection of works to be included?
We look for a singular voice. You know, a lot of times we look at films that address pressing social issues from different perspectives, but we tend toward a Southern voice, and we tend toward when filmmakers are from the community whose story that they're telling.
So take us to Ground Zero, opening night. Where is it being held and what will we experience?
Well, opening night is going to be at the Orpheum Theater, and the opening night film is directed by Noah Baumbach. The film is called Marriage Story, and it stars Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson.
I thought we should talk.
Okay. I don't know how to start.
With you, my life has been so...
It's a family drama, it's riveting, and we think it's going to be a major awards contender.
What else is on tap?
Saturday, we have a full day at the Orpheum Theater of Louisiana films. The day starts at 1 o'clock with Up From the Streets, which is a celebration of New Orleans' musical legacy. So lots of familiar faces in that documentary and a true look at generations of New Orleans music. And then we have a true story, a documentary called Mossville, that looks at one man's struggle to maintain his home and his health as a petrochemical plant in Mossville, Louisiana, builds itself all around him. And some of the subjects of the film will be there for that conversation. And I think it will be very enlightening as we think about the pressing environmental issues that Louisiana is facing. And that night, there will be a big celebration for Burning Cane, which is directed by Philip Yeomans. Philip Yeomans was a NOCA student when he shot his first feature film. It stars Wendell Pierce, and he's gone on to win Tribeca Film Festival's top award for director. He's the first Black filmmaker to ever win this. He's the youngest filmmaker to ever win this. And we're so excited to celebrate the Louisiana premiere of this Louisiana shot film with Philip on stage on Saturday night. And the mayor will actually be there to honor him as well and his achievements.
I understand he's only 19 years old.
He's only 19 years now. He's a college student now. And he's in college in New York, but coming home for his premiere.
Can you tell us more about the film?
It's a story about a Southern family.
I don't know what happened to that boy. Marcia and I have been helping out until he finds a job. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. Every time you try to move your feet, nails as sharp as a cleaver cut deep into your flesh. When you got the devil on your back, you ought to just stay still. Let him do as he pleases. Because once he's done, find a cleaver for your throat.
Are you deaf?
because the Lord has seen your treason.
Our Father, yes. Which art thou?
It weaves in issues of addiction and mental health. I would say that it's far more mature than one might expect from the perspective of a high school student. It's incredibly nuanced, and Wendell Pierce is wonderful in it.
Tell us about the other works that you'll be screening.
You know, there's a lot of great documentary in the festival this year. I'm particularly excited about a film called Women's Work, which is about the struggle for NFL cheerleaders to get equal pay and fair treatment versus their athletic counterparts. I'm also excited about a documentary called Flannery about Southern author Flannery O'Connor. And about a narrative feature we're screening on Friday night called Easy Does It. It's a comedy. It's a buddy movie. It's very feel good. And I think it's just what people are looking for right now.
Tell us about your spotlight films.
The spotlight category of the festival are, one, the films that sell the fastest because they are previews of major motion pictures that are going to come out soon. And they are often what we think of as Oscar contenders or films that are going to make a big press splash. Some of the spotlight films this year include The Two Popes, directed by Fernando Miret. And it is really a story about tensions within the Catholic Church. It's incredibly funny.
You know, there's a saying, God always corrects one pope by presenting the world with another pope. I should quite like to see my correction.
It has some big names in it. Anthony Hopkins plays one of the popes, and Jonathan Pryce also is in it. I think it will resonate with anyone who's ever seen the complicated nature of an organization that large, such as the Catholic Church. Troop Zero, which is, if you've ever seen Troop Beverly Hills and you liked it, this is the film for you. It's super fun. It stars Allison Janney and Viola Davis, and it was also shot in Louisiana. Portrait of a Lady on Fire is another spotlight that I'm excited about. It's a very nuanced story of a couple in the late 1700s, directed by French director Céline Sciamma. The story is about one woman getting her marriage portrait done by an artist, but she falls in love with the artist, who is another woman. We also have Clemency, which is this year's Sundance Grand Jury Prize winner. Alfre Woodard, who folks may remember from when we premiered 12 Years a Slave at the New Orleans Film Festival, plays a female prison warden and has a bit of a moral crisis as she becomes connected to someone who is facing a death row trial.
Just Mercy is another one of the spotlight films.
Yes, Just Mercy is a powerful story, a true story about a young lawyer, Brian Stevenson, who's played by Michael B. Jordan. And it's a history-making battle for justice in Alabama.
Tell me everything that happened. The first time I visited death row, I wasn't expecting to meet somebody the same age as me. From a neighborhood just like ours. Could have been me, Mama.
But what you're doing is going to make a lot of people upset.
You always taught me to fight for the people who need the help the most. Your life is still meaningful, and I'm going to do everything possible to keep them from taking it.
You only know what you're into down here in Alabama when you're guilty from the moment you're born.
God,
Mr. McMillan.
We're done here.
He was sentenced for a murder of an 18-year-old girl, and there was not enough evidence to convict, and it's the story of what happened to this young man and the advocate who attempted to represent him.
And A Hidden Life.
A Hidden Life is almost 3 hours long. It's directed by Terrence Malick, and it's the story of a World War II defector on the German side. It's a story about the decision to defect, the impact on his family. It's got beautiful shots of the landscape. It is a slow and intentionally moving feature, and I think any fan of Terrence Malick will be very pleased because all of Malick's hallmarks are in that film.
There is just so much to see, so much to do.
It's true. The New Orleans Film Festival has 240 films, parties every night of the festival, panels and roundtables, and really is a celebration of independent filmmaking.
Any surprises in this 30th anniversary celebration?
Well, you're the first to hear it, but we did just lock in a talk with Kim Cattrall, who played Samantha on Sex and the City. She's in town shooting a Fox drama, comedy-dramedy called Filthy Rich, and she'll be in conversation with Elizabeth Serrata from the Hollywood Foreign Press Association at the Festival Hub on Sunday.
Now, closing night is going to be special.
The closing night selection is a film called Harriet.
There's not much time. You got to be miles away from here for dawn.
Where is she?
Follow that north star. If there are no stars, just follow the river.
It's the story of Harriet Tubman, and it's directed by Casey Lemons, who directed Eve's Bayou here in Louisiana, if you've ever seen that film. And it stars Cynthia Erivo, and the score of this film is done by New Orleans musician Terrence Blanchard. So we'll be awarding Terrence with a Career Achievement Award on closing night for all of his success as a musician and a composer for film.
It's going to be a great fest.
Sure is.
New Orleans Film Society Executive Director Fallon Young, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
The New Orleans Film Festival runs October 16th through 23rd. More info is online at neworleansfilmfestival.org.
Everybody everywhere is looking for you.
God don't mean people to own people.
This thief and burn her at the stake.
Harry!
I would give every last drop of blood in my veins until this monster called slavery is dead.
Yeah! Ready?
That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Le Petit Theatre. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.